நமஹ ஹரிஹி ஓம் பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நம. ஹரிஹி ஓம். கட்டோபனிஷத்து சாப்டர் 1 செக்ஷன் 3 ஸ்லோகா 6. வில் ரீட். யஸ்து விஜ்ஞானவான் பவதி யுக்தேன மனசா சதா தஸ்யேந்திரியாணி வஷ்யானி சதஸ்வாயிவ சாரதேஹே. சோ யமதர்மராஜா, ஹி இஸ் நவ் கான்ட்ராஸ்டிங் கம்பேர்ட் டு தி ப்ரீவியஸ் ஸ்லோகா. ப்ரீவியஸ்லி வி டாக்ட் அபவுட் தி அன்ஹெல்தி வெஹிக்கிள். நவ் ஹி இஸ் டாக்கிங் அபவுட் ஹெல்தி வெஹிக்கிள், எ குட் கார். ஏர்லியர் there were a lot of factors which made the vehicle unfit. Now here the factors are making the vehicle very fit. Yastu vijnanavan bhavati. Intellect is very clear about the goal of life. We certainly have immediate goals and ultimate goal. One should know both. We talked about all this earlier. So we have come to this life. We are doing so many things. We are engaged in so many activities. A person goes through education, he gets a job, gets married, gets children. He does so many activities. All for what? If I don't know very clearly, then there is a problem. If I take the guidelines of the Shastras, it will say all these are meant for preparing the mind. Money is not an end in itself. Getting married, educating children, are not end in itself also. They will come, they will go. They have their own life. So they are all incidental and they are only intermediary things coming and going. In the process of doing all these, am I growing in a sense of gaining sadhana chatushtaya sampatti? That is the question. We have already defined what is sadhana chatushtaya sampatti in our Tattva Bodha lectures, and we have mentioned often many times. So are we gaining anything towards that goal? That must be constantly monitored. We have to ask ourselves every day. Family will grow. Children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, they will all come. Some people say, I used to have, when I was studying, there used to be a professor, a Tamil professor, who was the 17th child of their family. And all their children, grandchildren, all about 43 of them. So huge family. What is unique about it? Even many animals will have that. Therefore, the physical growth, financial growth, all those things, let them all take place. No harm done. No one says no for any of them. But am I internally growing? And Krishna actually, he said in the Gita, Vyavasayatmika buddhihi ekaiha kurunandana. Unintelligent people, either they don't know the destination or they forget it. Whereas the intelligent person is vijnanavan bhavati. All the time, jnana yogyata praptihi, jnana praptihi, and then jnana nishta praptihi, that is all the only mantra in his mind. Whatever may be the action, this should not be forgotten at all. It should be like the sthayi bhava. All the time it should be there. If you forget, what should be done? Sasangatve nissangatvam. Satsanga should be there all the time. Association with good people. Association with the Upanishads. The Rishis. All these great people whose life and teachings will remind you back again. You are losing your track. Please come back to the track. And so vijnanavan bhavati, who knows the destination and the marga and the path. Yuktena manasa sada. And he knows the necessity of a balanced mind. Yuktena manasa. I am flying for what? For moksha. That is the flight I want to take. But these raga, dvesha, kama, krodha, loba, moha, madamatsaryadi, all those terrorists, they want to hijack that plane. And they want to hijack my plane from the path of moksha to naraka. And so I should never allow the emotions to overpower me anytime. Vedanta does not say you should not be emotional at all. You can have emotion. We are human beings. We will have emotions. But the idea is, I am not overpowered by emotion. I know how to manage my emotions. If it is too much, I'll give some rest. Later, I should get up and walk the spiritual path. That is what we should do all the time. And that is called Samatvam Yoga Uchyate. By a Karma Yoga way of life, by a Dharmic way of life, I should make sure that Samatvam is maintained, equanimity is maintained, even in the worst of circumstances, even in the worst crisis in life. Tasya Indriyani Vashyanti. If the intellect and mind are managed, naturally, the sense organs, the Indriyani, they are also managed because they are ultimately controlled by the mind only. Our sense organs are controlled by the mind only. If you study where the sense organs go ultimately, we will find that they go to the field which you value the most. Whatever we like the most, that is where it will go. And so by changing the values, I can change the way of life itself. Why do you choose to come to this class, perhaps to this webinar? Because you find a value for this knowledge. Once the value comes, no one can stop you at all. If one does not have a value, no one can force you to sit here either. One day, 2 days, maybe even some more days, someone forces, the person's mind will be elsewhere or will sleep off. Because they may say, no, you should listen to this. Mind will sleep off. So, tasya indriyani vashyanti. Only that person's sense organs are controlled or mastered. Vashyanti. Like what? Satashva iva sarathehe. If you remember the previous shloka, it was dushta ashva. Here is satashva iva sarathehe. Like the well-tamed horses, well-trained horses, satashva, of this great driver. And so what is the first condition in spirituality now? Make sure that all the organs and instruments are in fit condition. Not only I should put forth effort, that is a purushartha, prayatnam. Effort should be always there. And effort is alone not sufficient because they are all very powerful, all these terrorists. When it is so difficult even to control the sense organs, what to talk of the mind? Chanchalam hi mana krishna pramati balavadridham tasyaham nigraham manye vayoriva sudushkaram. If I see something, at least one can close with one hand. But if the mind is unruly, can I ever cover it even with the both cloth or hands? Never. It's not possible. So it is not at all easy. Arjuna openly confesses and Krishna concurs with Arjuna and says it is not easy to control the mind. This we should know because we are all bound to fail initially. Initially, it's very difficult to succeed in this. If we fail, we don't have to feel guilty. No need at all to feel guilty because failure is definite in everyone's case. It only indicates that requires more effort and more time. It is a challenging but very worthwhile pursuit. That is why in all the Upanishads, Shanti Mantra prays for Sthiraihi, Angaihi, Struttuvaham Saha, Tanubihi, all those Shariram, Shariram Me Vicharshanam, Jihva Me Madhumattama. All these prayers are made in all the Upanishads. We take the help of the Lord also. So with effort plus grace, the mastery of the organs is possible. And there is no question about this at all. It is a compulsory exercise to gain mastery over the mind and also our organs. Mantra 7. Yastu vijnanavan bhavati amanaskaha sada shuchihi nasatat padamapnoti samsaram chadi gachati. Now what will happen if the vehicle is not in a fit condition? The consequences of such a person. The consequence what? He cannot get liberation. He cannot get moksha. And he will get spiritual stagnation. Or even worse, spiritual downfall. As a result of unintelligent handling of life. If one is not careful and alert. What is unintelligent handling of life, Yamadharmaraja says, yastu avijnanavan bhavati. So the four ashramas, they represent the gradual entry to active life and withdrawal. the whole picture must be very clear. That is why in our tradition, in Brahmachari Ashrama, the road map is given to the child. He can see the map and drive properly in the journey of life. This alone Krishna calls it as Vyavasayatmika Buddhihi, well-informed intellect, a buddhi which is knowledge-based. And because of that only, he is Samanaskaha. Earlier he was Amanaskaha, now this is Samanaskaha. He has got a balanced mind. He is not excited by anything, has the knowledge of the ways of the mind, its strengths and its weaknesses. He knows all of them. So Samanaskaha, endowed with a mind. A mind that endowed with the mind means what? His mind is not his servant. He is not a servant of his mind is his servant. And so Sada Shuchihi, because of that, if the mind is managed well, and if it is in his control, the sense organs also will be managed properly. Like the dog walker, he will have the string and pull this straying dog. Sometime we will wonder whether he leads the dog or the dog leads him. We can see all these sights when you go to the park. So give freedom to that dog, let it move, wander a bit. But when it goes wrongly, pull it. That is what one should do. Similarly, let the sense organs move around in the world. There are so many attractions. When it goes to the wrong place, my mind should be able to drag it back and say no. And the sense organ will say, yes, boss, if it is in its control. If not, it won't be. So he is called Sada Shuchihi, a person who is pure. So this is, that is what? The sense organs are ever pure. In the right road it goes. Krishna talks about this in Gita also. Raga dvesha vyukta istum vishayan indriyaischaran atmavashyai atma indriyatma prasadam adigachati. So Krishna says that atmavashyai raga dvesha vyuktaihi indriyaihi. One who is in command of his actions, such a person, saha, such a person, tatpadam apnoti. It is a guarantee. 100% he will reach the destination. Tat padam apnoti. Tat padam means that destination, moksha or brahma padam apnoti. And what is the greatness of brahma padam? Yasmat bhuyaha na jayate. From which he does not fall into samsara again. Yasmat bhuyaha na jayate. Here janma means mortality, limitation, time wise and space wise. In short, he attains moksha. Such a person reaches moksha. And so what is the lesson that we have to learn from here? That he says in the last verse of this section, section 3.
Vijnana saratir yastu mana pragraha vannaraha sodhvana paramapunoti tadvishnoho paramampadam. Krishna now concludes the Rathakalpana here. So a person should be like the following. He gives some kind of a, you know, checklist. Vijnana sarathihi. He should have a driver in the form of an informed intellect. An intelligent intellect, informed intellect. And what information the intellect should have? Not the present stock rates and all that thing. They are all required. They are all for day-to-day events. Here we talk about the information regarding the goal of life, the ultimate goal of life. What is the purpose of this janma? Where am I going? Where I have to stop? When I have to stop? So information regarding the spiritual journey, he should know. So such an informed sarathi is vijnana yukta sarathi, an informed driver, the informed intellect if one has, and therefore only manaha pragrahavan. If the intellect is informed, then naturally it will keep the mind in control. Like the reins of the chariot, if you remember the chariot analogy. So pragraha means the reins in the form of the managed mind. Naraha refers to the seeker. And we have to also supply. And he has got the sense organs which are obedient, tamed, and not wild sense organs. This alone is Vedantic. The technical knowledge is called sadhana chatushtaya sampatti. This person has got viveka, vairagya, shamana, shamadi shatka sampatti, mumukshutvam, all that he has. So a man in charge of his life is called sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha. He is in charge of his life. He doesn't let his indriyas and mind drag him away. Such a person, saha advanaha param apnoti. The end of destination, the end of advana, param apnoti. Param means the end or the destination. Of what? Adva. Adva means the path or the journey, margaha. So, this is nakaranda pullingaha, advan shabdaha. So, that is adva. So, adva, advanau, advanaha. So, advanaha is, this is the Shashti Vibhakti, Ekavachanam, so we don't have to go into grammar. So, param. Param means the end of the road, the destination. So, advanaha param, the end of the journey, the destination, apnoti. And what is that destination? Can you say maranam is the destination, for example, death? Death is not the end of the journey. We have dealt with this many times. At the time of death itself, we die with many incomplete desires. Lot of desires are not fulfilled. I could not do this, I could not do that. I thought at least my son will do this, but he is more assertive than me perhaps. Swamiji says, my son is more fool than me. So, because I die with unfulfilled desires, death is not the end of my journey. So, all this, I am again I'm born with those desires and I'm struggling to fulfill them again and again. Actually, there are lot of, in movies and all those things, they bring about many of these kind of concepts. So, the journey continues. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. So, you have reached the destination means when? Only when you reach the God or only when this punarapi maranam, punarapi jananam cycle ends. And so, Yama Dharmaraja says, tath, that destination is param, paramam padam. The ultimate padam of Vishnoho, Vishnu padam. Vishnu padam apnoti. Such a seeker attains Vishnu padam. What is Vishnupadam again? Immediately our answer is what? We will think it is Vaikuntha or Kailasa, Shivapadam. Shivapadam means Kailas and Vishnupadam means Vaikuntha. So our orientation is what? Vishnupadam is a place. We think it is Vaikuntha means it's a place which we will reach. That's what we think. So Shankaracharya, he takes all the trouble to negate our conventional thinking. Because if the destination is a particular place which I reach by traveling, then that place will be finite or infinite. It will be only finite. Why? Because I can reach it. If I reach it, means it is not here. What is travel? To go from a place where you are to a place where you are not. So Shankaracharya says, Vishnupadam does not mean Vaikuntha or Kailasha or Brahmaloka. Vishnupadam means Vishnu Swarupam. Padam here means Swarupam. Swarupam is the very nature of Vishnu. Then the question will be, what is the nature of Vishnu? That will be the next question. Then our orientation will be what? Shankha, Chakra, Gada, all the Shankha, Chakra, Gada, Pani, that Vishnu, you know? So remember, Krishna is in Gujarat, Gujarati, people will think, Dwaraka. So here the Upanishad knows and it puts it the beautiful adjective, Paramam Padam, the higher nature of Lord Vishnu, the higher nature. That means there is no lower nature at all, which is finite. It is a higher nature which is infinite. Higher nature is the infinite nature which we saw actually in Gita 7 as the para prakriti in chapter 7. There we saw para prakriti and apara prakriti. Apara prakriti is the finite and para prakriti is the infinite. So the Shankha Chakra Gada Pani Swarupam is higher nature or lower nature? We feel like accepting it as higher because of our liking of that form. But in reality, it is only the lower nature of the Lord. Any form is infinite and so it's only a lower form only. Whatever may be the form, that form is only finite. And so it is a lower form only. And what is the higher form? That itself is a contradiction actually. Formlessness alone is the higher nature. Formlessness. Any form is lower nature. Formlessness alone is higher nature because infinite cannot have form. So later, Kathopanishad, you know, itself will say, Ashabdam, Asparsham, Arubham, Arupam, Avyayam, Tatarasam, Nitya, Agandavadu, Chayate. It is going to say later. In fact, Nirguna Chaitanyam is the real nature of Vishnu. The all-pervading formless consciousness. That is Vishnu Swarupam. If all pervading formless consciousness is Vishnupadam, then how much one has to travel to reach there? That will be the next question. There is no travel at all. You reach Vishnupadam means what? You understand that Vishnupadam is never away from me. Dropping the very notion of distance is reaching the Lord, the real God. It is very, very important. That is as though reaching. When he says he reaches, it is as though reaching. Just as the dreamer reaches the waker. How? The dreamer who is dreaming in the bed, he reaches the waker. How? Just by, not by traveling. Dreamer reaches the waker by just waking up only. And so this person will discover Vishnupadam. That is called reaching Vishnupadam. And not only that, the very Vishnu, the very word Vishnu, if you really analyze, it will mean the formless consciousness only. Because the word Vishnu is derived from the root Vish, to surround, to pervade, to enter into. So Sarvam Deveshti Iti Vishnuho, that which pervades everywhere, the all-pervading consciousness. If Vishnu is all-pervading, then what form will he have? If space is all-pervading, what form space will have? So for Vishnu also, there is no form. Then why we worship him like that in temples? All that 8 feet and 9 feet tall, Venkatajalapati, we worship, we make them. Giving form is an intermediary stepping stone only. Going to formless is the ultimate destination. So all this is only an intermediary destination. Ultimate is that. So from form to formlessness is our destination. That's what we should understand. From form to formlessness. So go to form, nothing wrong in that. Worshipping the Lord with some form, nothing wrong in that. But don't permanently stay there. Go beyond the form. That is why Gita and other places, the Shastras talk about the Eka Rupa Bhakti. Eka Bhakti, Eka Rupa Bhakti, Aneka Rupa Bhakti, Arupa Bhakti. In Gita, all those things are talked about in Gita in so many places. So that is what this thing is given there.
Indriyepya Parahyarthaham Arthabhyascha Parammanaham Manasastu Parabuddhihi Buddheratma Mahan Paraham.
So with the previous shloka, the Rathakalpana, the chariot analogy, that is over. And through this analogy, the fivefold disciplines, the sadhanas, they were mentioned. One should have a healthy body, arogyam, one should have that. And the healthy sense organs, that is next, damaha, that sense control. And third one is, mind should be able to manage the sense organs, that is mind management, shamaha, or mind control. And fourth one is, intellect should be well informed. It should be a discriminative intellect. It should have the viveka shakti. And five, not only each organ should be healthy, all of them must function as a team. They should all function in a concept, teamwork. So this coordination of the organs is called arjava. We already used this term earlier. So these five disciplines are highlighted through the Rathakalpana, the chariot analogy. And generally in the scriptures, the Ashtanga Yoga of Patanjali is prescribed as a means of acquiring all these virtues. Whatever virtues we talked about, the Ashtanga Yoga of Patanjali is supposed to be giving that is prescribed to attain all these. So even if a person does not practice Ashtanga Yoga, even Upasana is considered as a method of acquiring them. That is, even if a person is not able to do all of them. Having talked about the Jnana Sadhanani, the preparatory disciplines, now from the 10th mantra, Yamadharmaraja re-enters into the Jnanam topic. He is now entering into that. And in the 10th and the 11th shlokas, he talks about the spiritual journey or the internal journey or the inner journey. So previous topic is what? Jnana Sadhanani are the topic. What are the sadhanas of Jnana Marga? And in the previous verse, we saw that there is no question of physically reaching Vishnupadam. We just saw that. Why? Because Vishnupadam being the all-pervading consciousness, there is no question of reaching. If at all we use the word reaching, it is only a figurative reaching. And what is figurative reaching? Discovering the reaching. What is this reaching? Discovering means what? Dropping the notion that Vishnu is away from me. Vishnu is not away. Vishnu is everywhere, which is that all-pervading consciousness, otherwise called the Paramatma Chaitanyam. In Vedanta, we call it Paramatma Chaitanyam or Bimba Chaitanyam. Just for remembering, we said the mind, there are two Chaitanyams. Actually, this all we went through earlier. What are those? Ritam Pibantau Sukritasya Loke. We saw this shloka earlier. Guham Pravishtau Parame Parardhe Chayatapau Brahma Vido Vadanti Panchagnayo Yecha Trinachi Ketaha. We saw this mantra. That is the all-pervading consciousness in the mind and also the reflecting consciousness. So, of these two, the original all-pervading consciousness is called Vishnu Paramatma. So, now what is our goal? Turn our attention to the original consciousness, the Vishnu Padam, the Paramatma. That is what we are supposed to do. And this journey is not a physical journey at all, but an intellectual journey of understanding. You don't have to go anywhere to reach this. It is only understanding. It is a journey of knowledge. And why should we take an understanding as an intellectual journey? Because understanding is understanding. Why should we call it an intellectual journey? Because the Upanishad gives the understanding step by step. The understanding also is gradual. It does not suddenly reveal the consciousness. Because consciousness being formless, colorless, soundless, touchless, smellless, the intellect cannot suddenly grasp the attributeless consciousness. It cannot understand what it is. Because our intellect is used to what? All kinds of properties, attributes. And therefore, what does Upanishad do? It takes our mind gradually, step by step, from Saguna world to the Nirguna Chaitanyam. Saguna Anatma to Nirguna Atma. Saguna Degam, Deham to Nirguna Dehi. Saguna Shariram to Nirguna Shariri. So it should be a gradual journey because our mind is very gross now. And this method of taking our understanding from Saguna to Nirguna, from the form to the formless, this method is called Pancha Kosha Viveka. We went through this in detail when we did Tattva Bodha, but this is called Pancha Kosha Viveka. When the mind is the grossest mind, I identify myself with the grossest physical personality only. Spiritual journey is gradual disidentification from the physical body. And I learn to see the physical body as a mere dress only. Vasamsi jirnani yata vihaya. We already in the Gita, chanted. So, and having shifted identification from the body, I go to the next higher personality, which is still subtler than the physical body. So, spiritual journey is gradual disidentification from the physical body. And I learn to see the physical body as a mere dress. And having shifted the identification from the physical body, I go to the next higher personality, as I told you, which is subtler. And this identification with subtler and subtler personality is called inner journey. So, from the grass body, the physical body, then body you go to Pranamaya Kosha, Manomaya Kosha, Vijnanamaya Kosha, Anandamaya Kosha. All these five koshas you travel. And disidentification from the grossest, and identification with the subtler body in a gradual manner. And for this journey, our personality is divided into five factors or components. The Annamaya Kosha. Annamaya Kosha is the grossest physical tangible body that we see and feel. And then Pranamaya Kosha, which is the energy personality, which is subtler than the physical personality. Then Manomaya Kosha, which is the emotional personality, still subtler. And Vijnanamaya Kosha is the intellectual personality, which is still subtler. And the Anandamaya Kosha, the sleep personality, which is the subtlest. In sleep, what we do, what do you really have? And from there to the witness of the sleep. So you go to the deep sleep. And from there, you go to the very witness of sleep itself, the consciousness, the subtlest. How do you know that somebody is witnessing when you are in deep sleep? It's a very interesting question. Because when you wake up, what do you say? I had a good sleep. When you were sleeping so much, who knows that you are in deep sleep? That is the consciousness. That is the Chaitanyam. That is why you are able to say, when you get up, I had a great sleep. That is the subtlest. And this is going to be the topic here. Pancha Kosha Viveka, that is going to be the topic which Yama Dharmaraja is going to deal with from now on. So initially, my physical personality becomes important. Later, my emotional personality, that needs to become important. Even if the children are giving food, you know, when they are giving food, some parents complain that they give all my physical needs, but not love and care, even to children. So I will go to old age home, the parents say many times. So more than the physical need, emotional need becomes important. How are you? A question when you ask, they feel happy. Even if it is a half cup of coffee, I don't want a servant to give me. I want my son or daughter to give me at old age. Or my wife to give me. That means what? My emotional personality is important at that time. I am ready to even physically starve when my emotional hunger is quenched. Then subtler than the emotional personality is the intellectual personality. That is why when the parents send the children outside, certainly emotionally it is painful because of the separation. Actually, in India is a very common sight when children go to America for higher studies and all. This is a very emotional this thing for the parents. But when they think what is good for the child intellectually, I am convinced that he should go now. He should go out, he should grow. I cannot keep my daughter permanently in my house, even though I love her so much. I should get her married. So the intellectual value, that overtakes the emotional suffering. So it is subtler. So that is why they have divided the koshas, the various things. Each later kosha becomes subtler. So from the physical body, annamaya kosha, then the pranamaya kosha is subtler. Compared to the pranamaya kosha, manomaya kosha is subtler. Compared to manomaya kosha, vijnanamaya kosha is subtler. Compared to vijnanamaya kosha, anandamaya kosha is subtler. And compared to anandamaya kosha, the very atma, that is the subtlest. So sukshma taram, and it is prayaktaram, more closer to my real nature. Each one is more and more closer to my real nature. And so Shankaracharya, he writes, it is more extensive also. This the entire study is very extensive. Annamaya has got limited pervasion. Annamaya kosha, the grass body, has limited pervasion. Pranamaya, the energy personality, has got more pervasion. It pervades more. And manomaya kosha is the emotional personality. It has still more pervasion. And so each later personality pervades more. Subtler and closer also. And when I come to my real nature, the Atma, it is the subtlest one. It is not closest, but it is myself. There is nothing like a closeness, not even an iota of distance. It is the closest means what? It is me. And it is all pervading. So, sukshmaha, mahantaha, pratyagatma, bhutascha. So this is the Pancha Kosha Viveka journey starting from the 10th mantra. We can read, Indriyebhyaha Para Arthaha. The grossest one is the physical body. The Upanishad does not mention that we have to supply. So the first level is what? The Sthula Shariram, the gross body. And superior to the subtler, superior to the gross body, and subtler than the gross body is called is the Indriyas, Indriyani. That also we have to supply because it's not given here. So, grossest personality is the physical personality. And subtler than the physical personality is the sense organs. And why do we say so? Because sense organs have control over the physical body. So, that should be more powerful and subtler. Just as the horses drag the chariot, the sense organs, they drag the body to various places. And subtler than the sense organs are the arthaha, paraha means superior. And superior to the sense organs are the sense objects. Sense objects are arthaha. And why they should be superior to that? Because they have got the capacity to tempt the sense organs. If there is a very nice fragrant smell of some whatever dish it is, the nose drags you there. And so we have to supply perceived sense objects are sense subtler than the sense organs themselves. Because when they tempt me, only when I see them, when they are in front of me, I perceive them, then I fall in love with them. So perceived sense objects which have entered the mind through the sense organs, artha, and they have the capacity to draw your body closer to them. So jayato vishayan pumsaha sangasteshu bajayate shankasan jayate kamaha. So I go on meditating on that object and I say, first when I say it first, I say, oh, it is nice. And next time when I see it, I think, oh, it is worth having it. And next time I see, I say, I want it. Because I keep on exercising my mind, thinking about that thing more and more. And finally, I come to a stage where I say, without it, I cannot survive. Who says so? Parabrahma Swarupam have come to this miserable condition. The person who is otherwise supposed to be the Parabrahma Swarupam, this person, he has come to this miserable condition where he says, I cannot survive without that object. A slave of perishable, fleeting sense objects. So the sense object seems to be so powerful to drag the sense organs. So artaha. Avrtaha means what? The vritti rupa artaha. They are superior to the sense organs. And arthyabhyaha cha param manaha. Superior to those perceived sense objects, arthyabhyaha, is the mind, the manaha. Why? The perceived sense objects, they exist in the form of thoughts, in the mind. So here the word arthaha means what? Artha vrittayaha. The thoughts related to the artha. And here Yamadharmaraja says, mind is superior even to the thoughts, even to those thoughts. Why? Because mind alone is the cause, the upadana karanam of every thought. Whatever thought we have, the cause is the mind. So thoughts arise from the mind. They exist in the mind. And finally, they dissolve also into the mind. So a thought is like a wave and mind is like a lake. Waves arise out of the lake. And they are sustained by lake waters and then finally merge into the waters. So the mind should be superior to the thoughts of sense objects. Therefore, arthebhyaha param manaha. Param means superior to actually. As even we are listening to that, what are we supposed to do now? Withdraw my identification from each one of them. That should be the exercise. So give up the deha abhimana, association, identification with the body. Give up the thought abhimana and come to the mind. And manasaha tu para buddhihi. Intellect is superior to even the mind. Manasaha tu. It is subtler, more powerful, superior to the mind. And what is the difference between the mind and intellect? We have to be very careful. Mind and intellect are not separate organs. They are all called antakaranas. Manaha, buddhi, chitta, and ahankara. We have dealt with this in Tattva Bodha. All of them are called antakarana. They are all one and the same equipment. And only two names of one and the same organ is manas and buddhi, which is called antakarana, internal equipment. And this one internal organ is known by two names depending on its function. Like one and the same person, when he is a CEO, he is called the CEO of a company. Suppose he is also secretary of a charitable organization, then he is a secretary. And when he comes here, he is neither a secretary nor CEO, but he is a student. So not that, you know, the student, he has a head of a CEO and stomach of a student or anything like that. But these are different role plays. The one and the same person is called by different names based on the function. So the antakaranam is called mind when it has got a doubting mind and an emotional function. Sankalpa, vikalpa, atmakam, manaha. The mind is of the nature of vacillation. It is all, in Tattva Bodha we saw all of them. And when the very same internal organ takes the role of determination, nischayatmika buddhihi. So doubts, they give way to determination. Whether to come to this place or not, there is a doubt. Then when you decide to come, that determinate mind, that nischayatmaka buddhihi, that antakaranam, that is called intellect. Why intellect is superior to the mind? Because nischaya can conquer samshaya. Samshaya is doubt. Nischaya is determination. It can destroy doubt, vacillation. So vijnanamaya kosha or buddhi is superior to mind. And not only can buddhi destroy doubts, all of one's emotional problems also can be handled by knowledge in the intellect. Jnanam is so powerful that it can conquer sorrow. Sorrow belongs to the mind. Sorrow is emotion. That belongs to the mind. Jnanam belongs to what? Jnanam belongs to the intellect. So this intellectual knowledge can conquer emotional, mental sorrow. In fact, the entire Bhagavad Gita is conquering sorrow. That through knowledge. That is what the entire Gita is about. Gatasu na gatasuncham na anushochanti panditaha. That's what he said. Wisdom can conquer sorrow. Whenever we sorrow, it implies all emotional problems only. Depression, anxiety, anger, frustration, inferiority complex, jealousy. Knowledge can solve all of these. So certainly, intellect is superior to the mind. And so, in the chariot imagery also, intellect was compared to the driver. And the mind was compared to the reins, indicating that the intellect is the controller of the mind. So what should one do? Give up manomaya abhimana and identify with vijnanamaya. Therefore, manasastu para buddhihi. Then what is the next internal spiritual journey? Buddhehe paraha. Superior to the intellect is the Mahan Atma. Mahan Atma means the total intellect. Buddhihi means the individual intellect, and Mahatma is the total intellect. So if I have to use actually a technical word, Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha is superior. This also we have seen in Tattvabodha. So Hiranyagarbha, because the total intellect pervades and influences the individual intellect. So just as the ocean is compared to the total intellect, and all the waves are considered to be the individual intellect. And so what are we supposed to do now? Having withdrawn sufficiently, that is called we should go deeper and deeper. Not only we should go deeper, the mind should expand also. Self-knowledge requires depth and expansion both. They say Lord Subramanya has got his veil, you know, the spear as his weapon. And if you study really, it seems someone very nicely interprets that through the veil, through the spear, Lord Subramanya is indicating what should be the nature of one's mind. It should be sharp, it should be wide, and it should be deep. That should be the nature of one's intellect. And with such a spear, one can destroy the asura, the ajnana asura, the asura of ignorance. So samsara rakshasaha can be destroyed by the veil of buddhi, the spear of buddhi. So our mind has to expand to identify with what? With the total intellect, the Hiranyagarbha. Which means I should understand there is no individual intellect separate from the total. Just as there is no individual body separate from the total matter. Similarly, there is no individual intellect also separate from the total. This travel is from the micro to the macro, the expansion of the mind. So buddhehe paraha, subtler, more powerful is the Mahan Atma. So the point to be noted here is what? The word Atma does not refer to the Sachidananda Atma here yet. Here it means intellect only, and Mahan refers to the total. Total means samashti. The Veshti and Samashti, the terminologies you know. So it's Samashti. So Samashti Buddhihi is Hiranyagarbha. And is the journey over? No. The journey is still a long way to go. That we will see in the next webinar. Yo Vedadau Swara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Prakriti Leenasya Parasa Maheshwaraha Shri Krishna Arthana. Narayana.